Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of June 14, week two of our study of the Old Testament prophetic book Ezekiel. I'm Dan Nygaard. The Old Testament prophetic book Ezekiel begins by the rivers of Babylon in modern-day Iraq. Ezekiel was born into the priesthood. He was raised to be a priest in Jerusalem, serving in the temple. Before he came of age to begin his priesthood, the armies of Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem. Jerusalem capitulated, resulting in that city becoming a vassal of the king of Babylon. Also, many of the elite from in and around Jerusalem were taken into captivity, taken as hostages, one might say, back to Babylon. Among these, the prophet Daniel and a young priest, not yet 25 years of age, named Ezekiel. As a captive in Babylon, this young man, whose whole purpose in life was to serve in the Jerusalem temple, seems to be trying to figure out what his purpose in life is now that he is hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem and unlikely ever to be a priest. Wandering by the rivers of Babylon, Ezekiel experiences a vision of Yahweh. We looked at that vision last Sunday. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 1. The result of that vision, Ezekiel surrendered his priestly purpose and became a prophet for God, a watchman of Israel. Allow me to suggest that he was more than called, he was summoned. You might almost say he was drafted, as he falls face down before God by the rivers of Babylon. Critics of the Bible point out that Ezekiel's vision of Yahweh, about the year 593 before the Christian era, greatly resembles Isaiah's vision of Yahweh in the Jerusalem temple about the year 740 before the Christian era. They both see a throne in the sky. In both visions, that throne is accompanied by four alien creatures, and in both visions, there's a lot of noise. Critics speculate that Ezekiel's vision is a literary device. It did not literally happen. Critics speculate that Ezekiel was actually plagiarizing from Isaiah. But if Ezekiel was plagiarizing from Isaiah, why the drastic alterations? As we reviewed last week, Ezekiel's vision, the throne of God is surrounded by four living creatures, each with four wings and two hands. In Isaiah's vision, 150 years earlier, four seraphim, four living creatures, surround the throne, but they have six wings and no hands. In Ezekiel's vision, these four living creatures are located below the throne of Yahweh. In Isaiah's vision, the four creatures named seraphim are located above the throne. In Ezekiel's vision, the living creatures are accompanied by wheels within wheels, by four gyroscopes, perhaps. Isaiah's vision makes no mention of these wheels within wheels. If Ezekiel was plagiarizing Isaiah, plagiarizing with the goal of hitching a ride on Isaiah's prophetic authority, why change the details of the vision so drastically? Why not conform more to what Isaiah wrote? Interestingly, the New Testament book of Revelation, written towards the end of the first century of the Common Era, or of the Christian era, also has a vision of the throne room of God. In that vision, it is surrounded by four living creatures. But in Revelation's vision, there are additions to that vision. 24 elders, 24 thrones. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. Back to Ezekiel, this vision convinced him that he was called by God to be a prophetic voice to the people of Israel in exile in Babylon. Indeed, in the vision, God gives Ezekiel an identity, a purpose. He's no longer a priest. He is now the watchman for Israel. Fascinatingly, Ezekiel's initial inaugural prophetic message is to be presented in street theatrics rather than preached. Yahweh instructs Ezekiel, take a block of clay, put it in front of you, and draw an outline of the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against your drawn Jerusalem. Build a ramp up to it. Set up camps against it. Put battering rams around it. Then take an iron pan. Place it as an iron wall between you and Jerusalem and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege. You will besiege Jerusalem. This will be a sign to the people of Israel. Then lie on your left side and put the sin of the people of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sin for the number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days you will bear the sin of the people of Israel. After 13 months of lying on your left side, then lie on your right side, bearing the sin of the people of Judah. I have assigned you 40 days, a day for each year. Prophesy against Jerusalem. I will tie you up with ropes so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have finished the days of your siege. So Ezekiel is called, instead of standing up in front of the people of Israel and saying, thus saith the Lord, and in some kind of sonorous voice giving a prophetic word from God, Ezekiel is called to engage in some street theater. And that theatrics requires him to spend 13 months laying on one side of his body. Who would ever volunteer to be Yahweh's prophet? Not only that, Ezekiel is commanded to limit, to strictly limit his intake of food to about 230 grams of grain a day, and only half a liter, a little more than half a liter of water a day. God explains to Ezekiel that this street theatrics, that his strict diet, is all a prophetic message from God to his people. Yahweh says, I am about to cut off the food supply in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair. Food and water will be scarce. They will be appalled at the sight of each other. They will waste away because of their sin. Ezekiel's street theatrics are a prophetic message to the people in exile in Babylon that what is about to happen in Jerusalem is a God thing. If you have your Bibles, your smartphone, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness, she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than all the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You have been more unruly than the nations around you, and have not followed my decrees or kept my laws. You have not even conformed to the standard of the nations around you. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself am against you, Jerusalem. I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations. Because of all your detestable idols, I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. Therefore, in your midst, parents will eat their children, and children will eat their parents. I will inflict punishment on you and will scatter all your survivors to the winds. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will shave you. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you. A third will fall by the sword outside your walls. And a third I will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn sword. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, my prayer, our prayer, is that Jesus alone be exalted. Ezekiel, the watchman of Israel, prophesies that Jerusalem is going to be besieged and destroyed. Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. The people of Israel had a popular conviction, a belief that Jerusalem enjoyed God, Yahweh's special protection. The prophet Isaiah, more than a century earlier, had prophesied, I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Isaiah chapter 37 records how when Jerusalem was besieged by the evil empire of Assyria, which no nation had been able to resist, and nearly 200,000 Assyrian soldiers laid siege to Jerusalem, the citizens of Jerusalem were in despair. Their political leaders prepared to surrender. Isaiah the prophet commanded them, don't surrender. God himself will rescue you in one night. And Isaiah records that an angel of the Lord appeared and wiped out 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Some kind of plague or some kind of internal warfare went on. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had to withdraw in disgrace. And just a few years later, while he was worshiping in the temple of his idol god in Nineveh, his own sons killed him, Sennacherib, with the sword in 681 before the Christian era. The people of Israel popularly believed that Jerusalem could not be conquered. Ezekiel's message to the people of Israel, both in Israel and in exile in Babylon, the watchmen of Israel prophesied that Jerusalem would be besieged and the people decimated, and all of this was something God was doing. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 12. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you, that is, inside the city. A third will fall by the sword outside your walls, and a third I will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn sword. The destruction, the coming destruction of Jerusalem, was Yahweh's doing. The watchman of Israel, Ezekiel, prophesied divine punishment on God's own people, on God's own city. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself am against you, Jerusalem, and I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations because of all your detestable idols. I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. All too often, people who have enjoyed God's blessing, God's gracious goodness, assume that they deserve God's protection. In 1740, a song was composed in modern-day United Kingdom. When Britain first, at heaven's command, arose from out of the azure main. That song, Hail Britannia, goes on to proclaim that the British Navy rules the waves of all the seas of the world. Sadly, this year, news reports claim that the British Navy struggles to get Navy ships launched out of port. Seemingly, Britain is just one more nation in a long list of nations who enjoyed God's blessing and presumed that that blessing meant protection. Britain was simply following the pattern of the people of Israel, who presumed because they enjoyed God's blessing, God would always protect them. But God's judgment on Israel, you have neglected, you have rebelled, and so punishment, judgment is coming on the city of Jerusalem. Ezekiel the prophet, the watchman of Israel, prophesied God's divine judgment on Jerusalem. It is my personal goal when speaking, preaching, teaching, it is my personal goal to always conclude with hope, because the Bible is packed with hope. One of the reasons I find it hard to preach from the book of Ezekiel is that it does not offer much hope. In this section we are looking at here, where Ezekiel is in street theatrics prophesying God's judgment on Jerusalem, it just ends with Jerusalem being destroyed and the people scattered, and there's absolutely no hope. However, in fact, the book of Ezekiel offers great hope. And that hope is simply this: human failure, human rebellion, human wickedness will not, cannot derail God's divine plan. In the book of Genesis, Abram is chosen by God, and then God renames him Abraham. Abram is chosen to be a blessing. Yes, he is richly blessed in the process. But God tells Abraham that all the ethnos, all the peoples of the world will be blessed through him. And of course, Abraham is one of the patriarchs, and from the genealogy of Abraham comes the divine Jesus of Nazareth. Yahweh's divine goal, bring redemption to all peoples. Now, this is not universal redemption, but redemption to all who believe and repent, that is, turn around and follow God. And it is Yahweh's determination, it is his great pleasure to bring redemption via a small, insignificant, weak people group we today call the Jewish people. Moses was given the divine law in order to create a people that would serve as a nursery for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the fact that the people of Israel failed to live up to God's call did not derail God's plan. The indifference, the rebellion, the wickedness of the nation of Israel could not derail God's great salvation plan. That plan progressed with just a remnant of the people who returned to Israel from exile in Babylon. That plan, God's gospel salvation plan, was in fact launched via just 12 apostles and about 500 believers when Jesus ascended into heaven. And from those 12 apostles, from those 500 people, God the Holy Spirit launched and nurtured and empowered something called the Ecclesia, the church, with over 2 billion adherents today, churches that meet in almost every country, in every culture, in every language around the globe. Human failure, human indifference, human wickedness cannot derail God's plan. And the New Testament gives us this great promise. Jesus himself, the resurrected Savior, shall return to earth as rightful King and righteous Judge. And Jesus' return to earth shall bring about the completion of Yahweh's redemption of his creation. Human failure, human wickedness, human indifference, human weakness cannot derail God's great gospel redemption. And God the Holy Spirit invites you, he invites me, he invites every person on the face of the earth to get on board what he is doing, bringing redemption to this world.